Good morning. It's 7:33. I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown. Major issues highlighted during interim meetings are starting to come to the forefront in the Senate now that the water bill is in the hands of the House. As Ashton Mara reports, the Chamber's Health Committee took action on a bill intended to cut down on meth labs across West Virginia.
Over the past year, West Virginians have had to change the way they buy cold and allergy medicines at their local pharmacy. Instead of picking up what you need in the aisle and paying for it at the register, medicines containing the popular drug pseudoephedrine are now behind the counter, and a pharmacist has to administer the sale. Now, the state legislature is considering changing that practice, making pseudoephedrine a Schedule IV controlled substance, available only by prescription. Committee counsel Jeff Johnson.
The bill updates legislative findings and definitions and sets criminal penalties for persons who purchase, receive, or possess a drug.
Senate Bill 6 is about reducing the number of meth labs in the state. The latest numbers from 2012 show the number of labs increased in West Virginia from 288 to 533. And last year, Kanawha County topped that list with a record 159 labs seized by county and state law enforcement. Proponents of the bill say making pseudoephedrine, the main ingredient in methamphetamine, available only through a prescription, it will decrease the number of labs and possible exposure to hazardous materials. David Potters is one of those proponents with the West Virginia Board of Pharmacy.
My understanding of the impact in Oregon is that when they went prescription only, their labs went down from high double digits and higher down to 10, 11, 12 a year, and has gone down from there. Mississippi was much higher and has gone down 80-some percent down into the 60s and still going down.
If the bill would pass, West Virginia would become only the third state to have a prescription-only law, but it also contains language allowing for what are called tamper-resistant drugs to still be sold over-the-counter, making West Virginia the first to take a position on the medications. According to the bill, the Board of Pharmacy would determine which drugs meet the tamper-resistant standard and are exempt from prescription. Mike Goff with the board says they will consult with the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency when making these decisions, including how to handle the two on the market now. But there is strong opposition to the bill by the pharmaceutical industry. Its lobbyists maintain prescription only is not the way to go. Instead, they believe lawmakers should be focused on creating a meth offender registry like Kentucky and Oklahoma have done, barring the purchase of pseudoephedrine for anyone convicted of a meth-related crime. Bridget Lambert is president of the West Virginia Retailers Association.
The best way to address this is to address the meth criminal, not the citizen of West Virginia who relies on pseudoephedrine for as a common over-the-counter cold remedy. I have grave reservations of us superseding the DEA's authority on which drugs are safe over-the-counter and non-diversion drugs. The DEA has not given a pass to any pseudoephedrine-containing product. They have not come out as the federal agency regulating those products and said these two products have been given our stamp that they can't be diverted. So I have a huge reservation about the West Virginia Board of Pharmacy having more authority than the federal DEA in this state. I still think the DEA should be the gold standard.
Discussion in the Senate Health Committee also touched on penalties for smurfers, people who buy their limit of pseudoephedrine and sell it to someone else to make meth. They discussed the impact it is having on service industries and their ability to find and keep employees, crossing over state lines to buy and bringing it back to cook, even the process for tracking it if the drug becomes prescription only. After an hour of discussion, though, Committee Chair Senator Ron Stallings says his mind wasn't changed.
I think we can cut down on meth labs and still have access to the medicine when law-abiding citizens need it.
After a voice vote,
all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
The committee did vote to move the bill forward. The vote, however, appeared to be based on party lines, with Senate Republicans voting against it. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
The day after the House of Delegates' public hearing on last month's chemical leak and the safety of our water supply, lawmakers began the process of incorporating suggestions to strengthen Senate Bill 373. As Aaron Payne reports, the House also addressed the concerns of those who felt the absence of some delegates at the hearing was a sign of apathy.
During Tuesday's floor session, Delegate Nancy Guthrie took the time to thank her colleagues that were in attendance for Monday evening's public hearing on Senate Bill 373. While some speakers at the hearing felt there were too many empty chairs, Delegate Don Perdue said that the turnout from his fellow delegates was satisfactory.
I want to point out that that was a hearing before the three committees of the House, which would be, if you had everybody, would have 63 members. Last night, I counted very late, and we still had 33. So there was at least half of that delegation who could have been here that had stayed till the end.
Now with the public's suggestions, delegates will dive into the details of the bill through the work of three committees. As this process begins, several rose to encourage their colleagues to do what they feel is best for the people of West Virginia in regard to future regulations, including Delegate Nancy Guthrie.
For the sake of your communities, take a real hard look at what people are expecting us to put in these bills. Take a look at the recommendations that have been made by some of the experts. I want to be able to trust my water. I want to be able to trust my water company. And so I think that's not a whole lot to ask.
Just before the public hearing, the Health and Human Resources Committee heard from West Virginia American Water Company President Jeff McIntyre and Dr. Rahul Gupta from the Canal Charleston Health Department. Before their appearance, lawmakers considered House Bill 4307, which would allow elementary schools or parents of students at the school to serve sweets at the school once a year. Under current code, sweets brought in by parents must be made using an approved recipe, its packaging must be pre-approved, or it must be only for their child. The current regulations are based on fears of children's individual food allergies. Delegate Patrick Lane was irritated with this item before the committee.
Mr. Speaker, I'm asking that we get rid of the nonsense. That we get rid of the rules upon rules upon rules upon rules upon rules on cupcakes and barbers and every other nonsense rule that comes through here. Let's pass a moratorium on rulemaking for garbage so that we have time and energy and effort and resources devoted to protecting the water that our children drink when they wash down that cupcake.
In regards to the water protection bill, Delegate Perdue said his committee will need more information from agencies scheduled to testify. Then the focus will turn to possibly strengthening the current draft of Senate Bill 373.
Once we're able to get all of those folks before us and assimilate that information, then we'll get into the business of looking at the bill we have and see how it may be, if it has to be, if it may be tweaked in ways that I think the public might find more appealing. Or, in effect, we don't know. We really need to get all that information in front of us before we can make a true determination.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Aaron Payne in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:41. Co-chair of the Joint Legislative Oversight Commission on State Water Resources, Mike Menypenny, is no stranger to water concerns throughout the state. Glennis Board spoke with him about some of those concerns and about his experience with the Elk River spill, and brings us this report.
Since the passing of the Horizontal Well Control Act of 2011, Mike Menypenny of Taylor County has introduced and reintroduced about 30 pieces of legislation designed to strengthen environmental controls to protect water sources, air, and public health. This year, he's introduced over a dozen bills that deal with water resources directly.
One of the things that I would like to see more than anything is to change the mission of the Water Resource Commission from inventorying the quantity of water to inventorying the quality of water. Because what is quantity without quality?
Meanwhile, he's introduced legislation that would eliminate phosphate, a major pollutant in our streams, in lawn care fertilizer, as well as a piece of legislation that would establish a pilot program for the disposal of pharmaceuticals, another growing threat to our water resources.
This is an opportunity that we've been waiting for, so we can, you know, really work to improve the quality of West Virginia's water across the whole gamut and hold industry accountable on every level.
Menypenny is referring to the Elk River spill. Like many, he's wondering how long the crude MCHM was leaking, exactly how much did leak, and if there are perhaps other tanks with unknown chemicals in other aging facilities that might be leaking as well, chemicals that maybe we can't smell. He says this crisis further motivates him to try to move towards safeguarding state water resources.
It's been a wake-up call for all the citizens as well as the legislature. And I thought, you know, this is our chance to really get some effective legislation in there to improve the regulatory framework to protect our water. However, a week into it, I started hearing people getting, you know, a little complacent, saying, oh, it's not that big of a deal, you know, it's over with already.
But will they drink the water?
Nobody's drinking the water in Charleston. I don't think anybody's drinking the water. However, a lot of people in the legislature are at least bathing in it now, but I refuse to. You know, we learned a lesson, you know, how much we rely on water. We went almost 8 or 10 days without it. I bathe in the sink with bottled water every morning, wash my hair with bottled water, drink bottled water.
Since the spill, Menypenny had the opportunity to meet with some members of the Chemical Safety Board.
When I talked to Johnny Banks from the Chemical Safety Board, I asked him, I said, you've been to Charleston 4 times or 3 times in the past 4 years due to chemical spills. And I said, is this a systemic problem that affects the Kanawha Valley, or is this a systemic problem that affects all of West Virginia? And he pretty much, you know, came out and said it is a problem across the country because, you know, we have failing infrastructure everywhere and people are not being held accountable to maintain their facilities and keep them up to date with upgrades and necessary protections to protect our water and public health.
Menypenny is calling for tighter regulations. He says balancing legislation between industry and community shouldn't compromise public health. And while many companies are responsible in their own right, no one should resist being held accountable.
I have made proposals for amendments to the new water resource bill coming up to require leak detection equipment installed in every tank as well as in the secondary containment areas. Right now, supposedly they're required in the secondary containment areas, but not in the tanks themselves.
The House is now moving the Senate's bill to protect water through committees. Menypenny says while it's often a discouraging sign to see a piece of legislation slated to go through as many as 3 committees, in this case, it's called for.
This has been done to make sure that we get it right the first time. We need to dot our I's, cross our T's, and make sure that we don't have to come back and do this again, because this is probably our first and only chance to do this. We may not get a second chance.
You mean in this session?
Well, in this session or coming sessions, because you know how people become complacent and once out of sight, out of mind, you know. How many chemical spills and accidents have we had in West Virginia that have contaminated the water and compromised the air where people's health were put at risk? And it's water under the bridge after a while.
Water under the bridge, indeed. When asked what it would take to restore his confidence in the public water supply,
it's going to take a long time. A lot of regulation. I think it's just going to take time.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Taylor County.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website at wvpublic.org. You can find great stories, photos, and videos. And once you're there, you can subscribe to our West Virginia Morning Podcast. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our news director is Beth Voorhees. Our director is Bob Powell. From Morgantown, I'm Beneduccio. Good morning.